So today on Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health, we're going to talk about how we met.
But Joss, why would people care about that?
That's exactly what someone with anxiety would say, Char.
That's true. Well, listeners, join us to hear the origin story of our friendship and the podcast, Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health.
Go. Hi, I'm Joss.
And I'm Char.
And together, we're two ladies just talking about mental health.
We come from very different backgrounds, race, family, religion, but we share one major thing in common. We both have tendencies towards anxiety and depression.
And while we don't have any mental health degrees or credentials, we do consider ourselves experts in our own mental health journeys because we live it daily.
Together, we'll share some tips, stories, and interview mental health experts and guests with lived experiences.
Because we believe that sharing stories is key to destigmatizing mental health and feeling less alone.
Join us. We're two ladies just talking about mental health.
Hi, listeners. I'm Joss from Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health with Joss and Char. If you're experiencing a mental health emergency or crisis, please remember these three numbers, 988. By calling or texting 988, you can speak with or chat with a mental health professional who can help you. Someone's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to suffer alone, and help is just three digits away. So write this down, 988. And if you don't have access to a phone, please go to your nearest emergency room for immediate care.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health. I'm Char.
And I'm Joss. Today, we're going to talk about how we met and how this podcast came to be.
But first, we have a mental health tip of the day for you. It's pretty simple. It's just have a dance party. Have a dance party at home, have a dance party in the bathroom at work, like Joss and I did at one point. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later. But, you know, shaking it off, listening to music can be a mood booster. You put on your favorite song and you boogie. That's the tip of the day.
So dancing in an unexpected place, right, Char, is what you're saying.
Oh, that's good. Any place.
I like that tip.
Unexpected is good, but yeah, any place. And I think it helps get the stress out of your body, maybe, you know, switches the mood a little bit, switch things up.
So let's get into it, Char. How did we meet?
We met at work and I was at this job for just like a very short period of time, like a blink.
Yeah.
And Joss had been there before me. Mm-hmm. And I was just so in awe of you. Like in my mind, it was like, Joss has all the answers. You don't know something, you go to Joss. You need help with something, you go to Joss. Like I've never seen someone before or since then who's as good at their job. Aww, honestly.
Thanks, Char. That's so sweet. And listeners, Char showed up at this job, no announcement. She just randomly showed up. One day she walks into the office and is like, "Hi, I'm Charlotte. I'm new." And I was like, "What does she do? Like, what's your job? What do you do? And what impact is this going to have on my duties?"
But probably made a lot more work for you because I'm a mess.
No, it wasn't. Because that's the thing. And listeners, you have to understand, I think Charlotte thinks that she isn't good at things, but she's really good at things. And remember, Charlotte, you had a very, very cute short haircut at that time. Like
my pixie cut.
Oh, it was so cute. She looked like she was on The Sound of Music. She looked fabulous. I remember that. I remember seeing your haircut and really liking your haircut because you looked very artsy. Aww. And at that time, you were a dancer at that time, kind of, you know?
I was dancing. I was teaching dance.
And I remember when you walked in, it was like every move that she made, you know, some people are always hitting, that they're just making each move look. You were hitting every single move. Like you'd come in and say, yay. And yay looked great. Like just moving your arm. I was like, damn. Like when people dance, there's a way that they move their body that I think is just so amazing. So I kind of, when you had announced that you were a dancer prior, I was like, yeah, of course she was a dancer because she's always hitting everything right on beat, which was very interesting. In a regular conversation, someone would just jump up and say, wee, and you know, look like they choreographed it.
I'm not everybody's cup of tea because of that. And I think people think it's not genuine, but when I am in that mode, it's definitely genuine. I'm glad it didn't annoy you because it can be annoying to some people.
I loved it.
I also was like in a time of transition in my life. I was really happy to be in a new work environment. Everybody was so nice. But yeah, you were the go-to. You were the go-to person. If you didn't know the answer, you'd find it out. I mean, and at this point, neither of us knew that we had mental health issues.
No, because I was a major masker and you were too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Still am.
Yeah. Yep. And in a lot of ways, sometimes I feel that sometimes it is important to mask because there are people out there who would find, oh, you have, you know, depression, or you have an anxiety, or you have some other, you know, mental health issue that you're battling every day. I mean, let's be honest, you're battling every day. You have to, you know, oftentimes put on masks. And I, with that particular job and most of the jobs that I'm in, because I am the go-to person in most jobs, I couldn't stop and think about being depressed. And so this is what's interesting. Charlotte's like, Jocelyn was everything. She was on top of things. Mm-hmm. I just go to her and ask her for this, that, and the other. And really at the end of those days, there were very long days that I was working. I was still a runner at that time. So I would run miles, and then still that wasn't enough to get rid of all the stress that I was feeling from that job. And then I drink a whole bottle sometimes of wine, like a whole bottle of, at that time was $2 from Trader Joe's. And people didn't know that I was doing that. You would have never known. I was just trying to make it. Like it was a tough time, but you didn't know.
Yeah. Make it through the day. We find coping mechanisms.
Yep.
Sometimes they're healthy, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're healthy, like running that turn unhealthy, become obsessive. Mm-hmm. I would have had no idea. 'Cause it's not like you showed up to work with a hangover.
No,
like
never.
I would have never known that. So it was more, it was definitely a work friendship and only, you know, years later, did we find out this part of both of our histories, you know, that we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you know, we were younger, it was a work setting.
Mm-hmm.
The dance party tip came from something that we actually did at the time. It was CeeLo Green's like Forget You.
That was the jam.
That I was obsessed. I would just listen to it nonstop. It kind of had like, it reminded me of kind of like a Motown vibe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just wanted to dance to it. And so Joss and I and two of our colleagues decided to do a dance party in the women's bathroom in the middle of the day, in the middle of the work day.
Yeah.
And I led a little dance party to that song. I don't know if we choreographed something or not.
You did. Choreographed it. Yes. You were... Okay, so you were like teaching. It was like, okay, think of Jane Fonda or whatever. You know, we were out there and she would, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And of course, I've always been a person when people are choreographing or if you take a Zumba class, I'm like, I'm the person that's going left when everyone else is going right. I struggle with choreography. I'm an off the cuff type dancer. I don't do organized dance. But, you know, Charlotte was really good at it. Oh, yeah. I mean, if I go out by myself, If I go dancing by myself, people are like, oh, she can dance. But ask me to be in the class where people have to be. No, I look horrible.
No, you don't want to follow directions. You want to let loose.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. I remember that would be so fun. And listeners, you have to understand, this bathroom was amazing.
Yeah.
It's not what you think. We were not dancing in front of stalls. We were dancing in this fabulous lounge that had, it was like had this very special flooring and really nice, like cute, like it was a powder room of some sort, right?
Yeah.
Very large powder room, super nice, and had
great this, dance space.
Yeah, and really good mirrors. Remember, there was a full mirror on the wall. The wall was mirrored. It was like a little, a dance studio that felt very plush and soft and velvety and, you know, whatever. So it wasn't like, I mean, I know those people are like, what? You guys were dancing like in front of stalls. It was not stinky stalls. It was not. So get that out of your head and just think very pretty, classic, gorgeous, you know, rich person's house, bathroom area. And we were dancing there. It was fun. It was fun. It was us and a couple of the women that worked there. And it was our kind of a secret, though. Remember, we put it on the calendar. Yeah. We sent it all out on the Outlook calendar and everyone accepted it, but only the girls that were cool. Remember? It was only the cool kids.
It's probably the first time in my life I've ever been referred to as a cool kid.
Well, we were the younger, more like, we hate this place, but in secret. Right? It was in secret.
It was fun.
It was a good time.
The thing, like, you know, that's why I wanted to make it a tip, is like, it can just break up the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, more and more I'm relying on music to help me like shift my moods. And again, it doesn't work every time. Sometimes I want music to match my mood. Sometimes I want music to switch it up. But just that moving the body, taking a break. I mean, yeah, if I have to dance in a stinky bathroom stall to make myself feel better, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. But that was so fun. And then, I mean, I remember you talking about, like, I felt like you worked there for a long time.
No,
but you clearly didn't. It was only a few months, I guess. But I felt like we really built a connection there. So it's very interesting, you know, how you meet a person and sometimes it's almost just like your souls kind of connect and there's some spark. We didn't know that what we had in common or what we saw in each other was, you have anxiety or you have depression or you're struggling. Like I didn't. Yeah. And maybe our souls knew this, that we had other issues and that there was something else about us that we had in common. That was very familiar, but I remember feeling like immediately I liked, I like Char. Like her. She's cool. And we created like these, like the Joss and Char. Literally, I never told you my family called me Joss. We just started calling you Char. Like I started calling you Char. Your name was Char Bear. You were, you know, we came up with names for each other, even though we never really were like, can I call you this? It just
fell into it.
It did.
I mean, and then, you know, I was there for a short period of time because I ended up taking a teaching job in Korea.
Yes.
Like I talk about transitional point in my life. I had quit another job. Broken up with my boyfriend, moved home, was at the job with you for a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And then someone I knew was teaching in Korea and put out like a mass email like, hey, the private kindergarten I'm working at in Seoul is looking for some teachers. I want someone cool to come. And I remember waking up that morning and reading that email and being like, pick me. I'm cool. I didn't even think about it. I just responded right away. It was like definitely impulsive or gut reaction, whatever you want to call it. And I remember telling you, you know, Joss, I got this job in Korea. I'm going to be teaching English. And you said, oh my gosh, that's something my younger sister might really be interested in.
Well, you know, okay, this is, I don't think you knew this. When I was coming out of college, my sister Ollie and I, we both applied for a job in Korea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. We were scared as okay, this is what happened. We were like, we got to get out of our lives. Like, yeah. We were broke. We, you know, didn't have really any connections professionally to be able to get a job. I just didn't know how we were going to be able to make money. And then I heard about, you know, jobs in Korea. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to start looking this up. Internet was relatively like new kind of thing to have at home. And mm-hmm. I remember looking it up. And Ollie and I were like, man, you want to do it? Yeah, I want to do it. And so we contacted this little company that we saw online, right?
Okay.
And the company was like one of these agencies. And I remember the guy's last name was Park. Obviously it's a very common name. Yeah. But I remember the man's name was Park, and he started emailing us, and then he called us and was like, okay, well, if you and your sister both want to do this, send us your info. Now I'm thinking like, you know how risky that was, and like how he could have stolen all of our information?
Yeah.
It was very weird. Anyway, we did it because you trusted people back then. And they were like, we're ready to hire you guys. We were both going to get hired, but at different schools, right?
What happened?
We got scared because we were like, my parents at that time, I still felt like my parents were, you know, in control of my life. And I was like, Ollie, mom and dad are going to be so, we can't do it. Right. So we just decided to tell the guy, I'm sorry, we got cold feet. We're not going to do it. So we didn't do it. Right.
Wow. But you were really close.
Yes. We were hired and everything. And oh, so, you know, what's really crazy? We ended up telling my parents once we got jobs and stuff, we told my parents, like, did you guys think of getting any other jobs? It's like, oh, my God, we were going to leave the country. We were going to go to Korea. And my parents were like, why didn't you do it? And we were like, oh, my God, I did not think that my parents would be OK with it. But, you know, like my parents, they've done like mission work, you know, for church and stuff like that. My dad loves traveling. My dad absolutely loves travel. So I think that's why we like, you know, cultures. And I like getting to know people of different cultures and different backgrounds because of my father. But at the time, I did not think my parents would think two single women leaving the country, moving into a foreign country to teach. So what was interesting is that after we did that, when Kristen graduated college, my baby sister's name is Chrissy, listeners, she wanted to go to Korea. So it was crazy when Charlotte told me she's going. I was like, oh, I want to talk to my sister. Do you think that, you know, my sister could come? And you were like, yeah, I think there'll be other positions. And then, boom, how far? It was, you had already gotten to Korea before we.
Yeah. So. Right? Well, a couple of things about what you just said. I was expecting my parents to be supportive because my parents have traditionally always supported my dreams.
Yes.
So when I said I want to move to Korea and work, and it's a great gig, they pay for my rent, I'll be able to be financially independent for the first time in my life. My friend is already there working. I know people there. I'll have a built-in community. My parents were upset. They didn't want me to do it.
I didn't know this.
So you assumed that your parents would not want you to do it. And they were like, why didn't you? And I assumed my parents would be on board, and they were not. And as only child, it really was the first time that I did something my parents didn't approve of. So I was like, I know you're not happy with it. I'm going to do it anyway. And I went there without them being on board, really. They came around eventually because they saw that I was like creating a life there and traveling and had a group of expat friends and community. But that was big for me because I hadn't really individuated from them yet.
And crazy.
Yeah.
I am surprised by that. I am also surprised.
I know. Because you know my parents.
Yes. I think they're great. And they're so nice. And that's one thing I would say when I met I remember meeting your parents. The first time I met your parents, there was a dance performance, and we happened to have gone to the same dance performance, and your dad walks up and says, so, and starts asking me questions right away.
That sounds like him.
he was so nice. I was like, Charlotte's parents are really nice. Like they were just
well,
very
I'm glad
nice.
You liked it because a lot of people saw that as like him interrogating them. I was like, no, he's curious.
Yeah, because I'm a conversationalist too. So I like that. Yeah. So I remember your parents being just super easy to, like upon meeting them, so easy to the same way you are, you know, very easy to like upon meeting you. And so yes, I was kind of like looking at you. You're an only child. Obviously, I'm one of nine kids.
Yeah.
But being like, dang, you know, her parents are like razor focused on what Charlotte wants. And yeah. I always felt that my parents were always razor focused on what they wanted and the vision they had for their whole family. So we worked as a unit. And in some ways, yes, I guess you're saying it was like a unit. But then I also understand why your parents would be concerned about you moving to the other side of the world because you're an only child. And then now I'm saying hindsight being 2020, my parents are like, they got what, seven other kids? Oh, if they pass, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who there's so many of us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my parents built their world around me for better or worse. They had me when they were 40. Now I'm pregnant at 39.
Wow.
And I did always appreciate that they call it BC before Charlotte. their time BC before me, that they really had interesting lives before me. So that when they had me, I was the center of their world, again, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But so gung-ho about supporting my dreams until this Korea thing. So that was really interesting. It's the first time I heard my parents and still decided to do my own thing.
Wow.
And then the second thing I thought of when you mentioned your sister, Chris, is at that time when I was telling people I was moving to Korea, so many people, their first response was like, oh, that's so cool. Maybe I should do that. And I was like, yeah. So, you know, when you said your sister, Kristen, who was a bodybuilder at the time.
Yeah, she was.
Pictures of her. You were like, maybe this would be good for her. I was like, sure. I didn't expect anything to come of it. And then when I was in Korea, I think I like Skyped with your sister for the first time.
Yep.
I put her in touch for the interview. And I think she spent New Year's that year in Korea.
That's correct.
And she and I became best friends. Mm-hmm. We're still best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really enhanced my life.
I think you guys enhanced both each other's lives, though. I mean, because Kristen feels the same, too. About you, which is so crazy because I was always thinking, isn't that so crazy? Like, I met Char, then Char meets my sister and becomes closer friends with Kristen.
Yes.
We didn't talk for many years. Remember, it was like you, Kristen, you guys, you know, obviously, you know, I went to Korea after I her last year there. Remember, we traveled there, but you were gone already. You had come back to the States.
I was gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I literally did not see Charlotte or talk to Charlotte for years, right?
Yeah, like 10 years.
Yeah, at least. And that, but I would hear about, you know, Charlotte's doing this and Charlotte got a boo and Charlotte's, you know, I'd hear things about you. But Kristen and you just kind of built this relationship that I thought was really great.
Well, we were each other's family in Korea. I mean, we call each other sis because when you live abroad, I think we lived like two blocks from each other. We worked at the same school. Like we were each other's family. I think you bond in a way that is really unique when you live internationally with someone because you're trying to survive. And the bonds, and you're trying to navigate cultural differences and culture shock and
language
and what to order at restaurants. And, we had a blast, but you and I lost touch. And for many years, we lived very close to each other, but never saw each other.
Nope. And that's the thing about LA. And that is the thing about LA, though. I mean, I don't feel like LA is when you live in a certain neighborhood, your neighborhood does become like your city, your town or whatever. But even in your town, someone that you know might live like two blocks or three blocks that way. If you don't have kind of the same like, I don't know. You just don't have the same habits or whatever. Because I'm pretty sure we went to the same grocery stores. Never saw you at the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the grocery stores, there's like the same grocery stores that everyone sees in the neighborhood or whatever. But we never talked while you were in that place.
Oh, and then I think, speaking of dance parties, my birthday... For my 39th birthday, I was like, I want to have a dance party for my 39th birthday.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
And I invited like 50 people and nobody could come. And I felt so sorry for myself. Just like 10 awesome people showed up. And that was great. It was great. Yeah, yeah. But what was cool about that is I invited you and Ollie to my birthday party. And although you guys couldn't make it, you immediately were like, let's get coffee, let's meet up, how about next week, and we met up for coffee, and pretty early on in the conversation you said that you had a tendency towards depression. And I said, oh my God, Joss, me too. I'm actually like currently kind of coming out of, but not yet out of, this year-long depression after I quit grad school. And that's how the podcast started. We were like, we realized we've known each other for what, 14 years, 10 of which we weren't in touch.
Even talking.
Not at all. I just hear about your life from your sister. There was no bad feelings during that time. It's just we lost touch. And we were talking about mental health and you were like, I think we should make a podcast. And I was like, why? Why would people want to listen to us?
Which is exactly what people with anxiety would say. But but the thing was so crazy is because we were having this conversation and so many of the things were similar, and so many of, and some of the things that you had gone through or that you had advice about was something that I may have needed. And I think vice versa. So I felt like the conversation we were having, I was like, if anybody else is sitting in, like, I was just thinking of eavesdropping when you're at a restaurant or you're at a, you know, a little coffee or tea place and you meet someone. I mean, you listen to other people's conversations and their conversations are, you know, about something very important, like a topic and something that you relate to. It's always nice to be able to hear these conversations. And I remember we were in the car and I was like, I think people would like to hear this conversation. Like, this is a really great conversation because I felt like we were just really relating to one another, feeling like we were in community with each other about something that, even though we knew each other for many, many years, this was something that we, a lot of people don't disclose about each other. You have to be in a safe space. You have to be with someone you feel safe with or that understands, you know, a mental health struggle and doesn't label it as something negative. I do think sometimes my depression and my anxiety is some of the reasons why I am empathetic to people. I think that if I didn't go through, you know, the suicidal ideation and, went through that really, really dark time where I didn't think I was gonna pull myself out and also didn't know I was gonna live until this age. Like, let's be honest, like I didn't think that I'd be able to make it to, you know, 40 something years old. Like I, and so, you know, I've always said that every day after the day that I no longer had suicidal ideation is a gift. And it's, if it is my last day, I didn't think I deserved it anyway. So why am I not gonna make this day a day that I can either make someone else smile, I can do something, I could be of service to people.
You are, and you really live that way.
Yeah, I try. I mean, I try my best. I'm not perfect. And there are days where I'm, you know, not in a good space and I forget to, you know, to be grateful for a day that I didn't think that I was going to have. But that, that mantra kind of, it does rule my life. Like, that's what I try to live by, is that, you know, had I not, you know, gone into therapy and ever told my sister, Ollie, that I was suicidal, I probably wouldn't even be here.
I'm so glad you're, you are here.
Me too. Me too. Me too. Look what's happening.
Yeah. You're creating something. We're creating something together. You've written about it.
Yeah.
In a really powerful way. We are hoping to build community with this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because it looks like we might get your therapist to come talk about suicidal ideation.
We definitely will. And that's a really great story too, which I can't go into it here, but I do want everyone to meet therapist Pam. She's amazing.
So we're working on getting her here to talk to us about it.
Yes. And let me share with you, I haven't even texted her back. She texted me to tell me that she was ready and what's next steps. And I got too busy this week.
Yeah, that's okay.
So I'm gonna text her today.
I think that's also part of, being someone who experiences mental health issues is like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just we have to give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Like it'll happen when it happens. We'll have her on the podcast when we have her on the podcast. But for now, I'm so glad you're here. And I do see you being in service. Mm. So much so that sometimes you put yourself on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is very clear that you live that mantra and you, mm-hmm. you want to live each day fully.
Yeah. And, so I think listeners, what people need to know is that we've had a very long history together. This is how this Black girl and this white girl are on this podcast together. Very different. I think as the podcast goes along, people will understand the differences between she and I. But also, Shar and I are very similar in that, I think the most important aspect of this podcast is really about learning how to live with non-judgment for people who are experiencing issues or a crisis or not a crisis, or just mm-hmm. daily managing, the battle of mental health, because it's a war within yourself. It's a war mm-hmm. within your mind. And it's oftentimes in conflict with, the rest of the world and what other people's expectations are of how we should act and how we should react to mm-hmm. The world around us. So I think we both have this, we feel like this is our purpose, is to really do and through vulnerability, mm-hmm. try to, ask the world to give grace to folks who mm-hmm. Are dealing with mental health every single day, because we, like our relationship, we had no idea that each other were suffering. And as you can see, when I first met Charlotte, I thought that she was this happy, dancy person who just had a very even mood.
Yeah. And I was like, Jocelyn for president. She can do anything.
Yeah.
Nothing gets in her way. Mm-hmm. And that's still all very true. Mm-hmm. But it's that knowledge of everybody has a story to tell, and we never know what somebody's going through.
Yep.
And during COVID, I heard someone use the term, like, let's give each other like a wide berth, like, boats. I think that phrase comes from boating. Like let's give people space, give people grace. We have no idea what they're going through.
Yep.
During COVID or any other time.
Yeah.
So hopefully with sharing our stories and listeners, we hope we can hear your stories. We'd love to hear from you about your mental health journeys. You can write into us, share your stories. If something we say, resonates with you, we'd love to hear about it and keep that conversation going, because I think shame lives in silence. Mm. And when we talk about it, it can help ease the shame and ease the pain.
Exactly. Yeah. So I That's think that was met. That was how we met. And boy, am I happy.
Why don't we take a quick break? And mm-hmm. when we come back, we'll tell you about our next episode, a little teaser.
Yep. See you then.
Bye.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast, Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health. We want to build community with you around mental health. Please follow and connect with us on our socials by searching Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health. We're on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also email us your questions and comments at twoladiesjusttalking@gmail.com. We are so excited to connect with you and also hear your stories and tips and questions and recommendations for trusted mental health resources, because that way we all feel less alone. Join us next week.
Go.
Hi, listeners. This is Joss from Two Ladies Just Talking About Mental Health. I want to remind you that if you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please call or text 988 or go to the nearest emergency room for immediate care. And maybe you're not in crisis, but you need a therapist to help you on a more frequent basis, but you're concerned about the cost. Here's a tip. When you're reaching out for therapists, be sure to ask them if they offer their services on a sliding scale, meaning that they can lower their rate to better accommodate your financial situation. And if you're looking for a therapist who specializes in working with minority identities, there are collectives and organizations out there that have you covered too. Here's a couple of those resources. For Black women or girls, therapyforblackgirls.com. If you're looking for a therapist of color, you can go to nopsych.com. That's nopsych.com. For South Asian therapists, there's southasiantherapist.org. And for LGBTQ plus identities, the National Queer and Trans Therapists of Color Network, which is nqttcn.com. If you are parenting as an LGBTQ plus person, rainbowfamilies.org. Again, when you contact a therapist, please ask, do they offer their services on a sliding scale? That will help reduce your financial burden. Blessings to you and your search. May you find a therapist that meets your needs.